there. All right. Oh. Anyway, God's doing some great things. Things are happening. You don't hear it on the news, but it's happening. All around the world, things are happening. And it's exciting that we're living in the end times and things are happening. And I don't know about you, but I'm longing for home. Not right now. I'm just saying. I'm longing for home. God's got things that we need to do, but it will be a glorious day when we see Jesus face to face and kneel before him. It will be worth it all. Amen. And I want to share a little bit about that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. There's a song. I'm not going to sing it. But anyway, turning adversity into victory. Now, Wednesday, we talked a little bit about persecution, different things like that. And persecution comes so many different ways. It's kind of a little bit like that. But I want to share some things that will really help you to keep a good attitude during times of facing testing. Because every time, I mean, sometimes we fail the test, don't we? But God wants us to learn to how to respond to adversity or hardships or troubles in our life. Some of you are probably facing some hardships, troubles right now, and it's like sometimes it can be overwhelming. But let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, take the words, put them in our hearts. Let us apply these things. And Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing, continuing to do, and we want to be a part of that. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, turning adversity into victory. All you streamers out there listening, God loves you, we love you, and he's got the best for you. So, how do we respond to adversity, trouble, hardship? Do we complain? Find someone to blame? You did it, honey. It's your fault. Yeah, I know. Do we get depressed and feel bad about ourselves? Whatever hardship or challenge people you're facing, it'll never stand against the power and purpose for God's purpose in your life. Never. For what God has for our lives. How we respond to times of trouble has everything to do of receiving the victory God has already given us through Jesus Christ. Already. Now, the author of Hebrews, which I think is Paul, but no, sometimes people say, well, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Well, he's got Paul written all over it, as far as I'm concerned. But the author of Hebrews describes the proper response we should have in adversity, hardships and troubles. And if anybody had hardships, it was Apostle Paul. When you read about his life, you read about the persecution, and you read about the things that are happening even in the day and age we live in. We got it good here, people, and we don't realize the suffering that's going on around the world. People are dying for their faith. Even now as I speak, families are being persecuted for their faith. And we need to continue to pray for the persecuted church. We really do. And when Paul was talking about this, he understood. And so when you listen to what Paul has to say, you're going, Lord, if Paul can do it by your grace and your mercy and the Spirit, so can I. So it says in Hebrews 10:32, let's look at this. It says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated or got saved or got the Holy Ghost, you endured a great struggle of sufferings. How many when you got saved, a little persecution came from the family? Oh boy, let me lift my hand on that one. Or relatives or somebody else. Oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks, man. In high school, it was Jesus freak, see? Oh, you're a Jesus freak. Uh-huh, I'm a Jesus freak. And persecution came in different ways. Verse 33 says, partly why you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, everybody say, for yet a little while. See, it's all coming to an end. All this is going to be over. One day, all the hardships, all the tribulations, all the troubles, all the garbage that the devil puts you through and people put you through, it's all going to be over. And I like the last verse, for yet a little while. And he who is coming will come, and he won't tarry. Because we know Jesus is coming. But it's a nice reminder to know that one day, all this is going to be over. Aren't you glad? How many just want to stay here? It's all going to be over. First point, write this down. When hard times come, you respond by standing your ground. Everybody say, standing my ground. All right, verse 32 says, you endured a great struggle and sufferings. And like I said, people, there are people around the world that are suffering for the gospel. People being beheaded by the strict religious groups that hate Christians. But Muslims, Arabs, you name it, people are getting saved by the hundreds and thousands, and you don't hear about that. Jesus is appearing to the Muslims. He's appearing to them. They're getting saved in Iran, Iraq, all over these countries. There are Christians by the hundreds and thousands getting saved right now. The greatest outpouring is happening. Even through the midst of the greatest suffering comes victory. Great victory. These Christians here in the early church were laughed at. They were beaten. They were publicly and shamefully mistreated, being persecuted for their faith. They became targets of every type of abuse you can think of. And it hasn't changed today. But they stood their ground and they kept on going for God. Now, I took a little bit and I looked at different translations. The Living Bible says how you kept right on with the Lord, even though it meant terrible suffering. Have you ever been in a place that no matter if you kept serving the Lord, you knew you were going to suffer more for serving the Lord? That's what these people were doing. When you knew you were going to suffer, you just kept on with God. It didn't matter. I kept on with God when I gave my life to the Lord. And it wasn't a pretty sight with my family. Because my dad didn't want that. But God did. And the persecution was very strong. But I kept on with the Lord. Even knowing that if it cost me even more, I was going to serve God. So we know the passion says this. They endured a great marathon season of suffering and hardship. How many have ever been a marathon seasoning? It's like it's never going to end. It's like one trial, one hardship, one garbage after one another. And it just goes and goes and goes. And you're wondering, God, when is this ever going to quit? That's what they felt. The message says those were the hard times. Those were the hard times. Ephesians 6:13, let's look at this. Therefore, put on the God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist. Everybody say resist. And stand your ground on the evil day of danger. Now, that evil day can be any day to us. That something, all of a sudden, you're going good, and all of a sudden, something just hits you. Something just comes out of the blue and just knocks the wind out of your sails. But he said, resist and stand the ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. I ain't moving, devil. This is where I'm standing. This is where I'm staying, no matter what. And you resist him by standing your ground. And he hates that. He just hates that. So people, the first thing we got to do is learn how to take and stand our ground. And resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee when we resist the devil. Number two, write this down. When hard times come, we can help others who are going through the same thing. Now, how many of us have ever been through things and we thought we were the only ones going through them? Well, Lord, you just don't understand. And you tell God, you just don't know what I'm going through, Lord. You just don't understand. And like he told Elijah, I got 5,000 other prophets that never bowed their knee to Baal. But sometimes when we're going through it, we feel like we're the only ones. But there's others going through even worse things than we have ever gone through. When you think about your brothers and sisters all around the world, some of the things that I have read in A Voice of the Martyrs, I told Candy, I was reading the magazine Voice of the Martyrs the other day, and the families that have everything taken from them. Al-Qaeda and all the different groups had come in and they had killed off their families, wiped them out, wiped their churches out, burned them to the ground. And these people were still holding on to Jesus. Then we complain sometimes because we feel like we're the only ones. But yet what's pain to another person is pain to another person. It's different pain, okay? So it says this. It says in verse 33, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. When others are going through, it's amazing how much compassion we have for that person that's going through it. Well, I'll just get over and get through it. It's not that easy. The Living Bible says, and sometimes you watched and you sympathized with others' suffering. The same things. The Passion says, then at other times you stood side by side with those who preach the message of hope. Look around this place. This is your family. When they hurt, we hurt. When they suffer, we all suffer. When they feel pain, we need to be praying for them, lifting them up, encouraging them, and helping them to spur them on to victory. That's what the body's about. This is what it's supposed to be about. They even stood by Paul when he was in prison. He said in verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains. Paul said, thank you for the compassion you had on me in my chains. Other people that looked at him and said, well, he must have did something wrong. And began to judge him and be critical. But instead, they stood alongside Paul, prayed for him, even when he was in prison. 2 Corinthians 1:4, let's look at this, the Message Bible. He comes alongside of us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person. Just as God was there for us. What a powerful verse. You know what? God doesn't waste pain. He uses the pain we go through to help somebody to get through their pain. Amen? He takes our pain and says, now I want to, you made it through your pain. You got healed up. Now go to somebody else and say, I can relate and help them through their pain. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be and what it's all about. It's not allowing people to just, well, they'll figure it out. Well, they made their bed, they can lie in it. I heard that so many times in my life. But he who has mercy, God says, I will show mercy. Lord, help us to be with Paul, to come alongside somebody and say, hey, I've been there. I understand. I know what you're going through. I've had opportunities for other pastors, when they've been going through it, to sit down and say, let me share with you what I've been through, but what God brought me through. And pretty soon I'm praying for them, blessing them, encouraging them. It's hard out there, people. And you get hit from every side. You get hit on your jobs. You get hit from everybody. But the thing is, Paul is trying to teach us how to stand strong and turn our troubles and our hardships to victory. Number three, write this down. When hard times come, let joy be your strength, knowing God has all you need in heaven. I like that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn to somebody and say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Right, honey? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now you have to tell me that. Thank you. Now look at verse 34. And joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing, everybody say knowing, there's a catch to you losing all your stuff, okay? I know that it's not popular when you lose everything you have. Some of you may have lost a house, you may have lost cars, you may have lost this, you may have lost that, through a job situation, whatever it is, it could have happened through a divorce, it could have happened through so many different things that you lost something. These people lost everything. When they became Christians, they were persecuted. They were, during the time of Nero, were being burned at the stake. They were being thrown in the lion's den. They were being killed for their faith. And it says here, Paul says, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing what? Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. See, they can't take away eternity from you. They can't take it away. They may take a few things down here. You may lose a few things. But in the light of eternity, does it really matter? No. Because we begin to realize what's important. That God owns heaven, and God can get heaven's resources back to you no matter what. He will make a way. The Living Bible says, and you were actually joyful when all you owned was taken from you, knowing that better things were waiting you in heaven, things that would be yours forever. Let me say this. When you as a Christian can get to the place that things don't matter to you. Now, we enjoy things. The Bible says enjoy them. Have fun, people. Have fun with your house, your cars, whatever you like. My Harley, whatever I like. Enjoy those things. But those things don't have us. We have those things. We have to live life down here. But what would happen to some people? We see it happening with the mudslides and the fires in California. These people lose their houses, and some of them have committed suicide because they've lost everything. Back in the 1970s and 80s, I think it was, when the stock market crashed, people were jumping out of the windows, killing themselves because they lost all that money. Well, their security wasn't in God, it was in things. And these people, when they lost everything, thought, hey, you can take my house, you can take this, you can take this, and you can take that, but I still have God. I still have heaven. I still have eternity. And God can take care of me. He can make things up for me and bring those things that I need no matter what. And so their attitude was totally different. They didn't flip out and say, well, I'm not going to serve God because I lost these things. No, they did the opposite. They were joyful. See, joy is something that's deeper than anything else. Joy is not contingent upon things. Happiness can be, but not joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that's deep inside of us as God's people that is something you can't put your finger on it, but there's something about that happens to you. There's a joy inside of you knowing that God is still God in the midst of the garbage that you're facing in your life. He's still God, and he won't change. The message says nothing they did bothered you. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. The Passion says, and when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy, convinced that you possess a treasure. See, that's the secret. I can stand my ground. I can have the victory knowing that these things don't matter because I have a better place in heaven. And when you begin to compare things to eternity, it's amazing how things won't bother you as much as they used to when you lost those things. No, listen, none of us like to lose anything. We don't. None of us do. And it can be painful. Kenny and I know what it was like to lose a house when we first moved to Colorado. I knew what it was like to take my truck and drive it up and give it back. All that. I know what it was like to go through bankruptcy and lose everything and feel like a piece of garbage and trash because people would look at you and point fingers at you. But God was still God. He was still God, no matter what. You just keep moving. You keep moving forward. You keep trusting God. You keep going after it and say, God, I'm here for the long haul. He says, a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. We can be joyful because of knowing that God has a better, more abundance, and more than enough to take care of us. We know that in comparison of this world and the world beyond, we have it all. We got everything that God has. If we want God's best, then no matter what comes our way, remain joyful, remain cheerful, keep smiling, and determine that you will stick it out until God's plan and purpose are fulfilled in your life, no matter what. We're in it for the long haul. Amen? Bill, we're in it for the long haul. There is no, well, I don't know. No, we're in for the long haul. Because God is God. God's still God. And there was God. And there was God. No matter what, and there was God. Number four, write this down. When hard times come, keep your confidence in God so he can bring to pass his best for you. Amen? So he goes through all this, plundering of their goods, telling them to stand their ground. And then Paul comes back in verse 35 and he says, therefore, when he says therefore, that means he's going to tell you after all the garbage and junk you've been through. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't quit before the time or you'll lose your reward. Too many people are quitting, and they're losing their miracle. They're losing their reward. Don't cast away your confidence. So Paul's telling these Christians that have lost everything. They plundered their goods. They've been suffering, going through this, and they're hanging on with God. And he said, don't cast that away. Hang on to that because your reward is coming. Your reward is coming. There's reward. The Living Bible says, do not let this happy trust in the Lord die away. No matter what happens, remember your reward. I know people right now that have left this church are not even serving God. Tragedy. I don't get it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Why? Every one of you have been through hard times and you've stuck it out and you continued. But it's because what was our relationship in? Was it in people or was it in Him? Does that make sense? It has to be in Him. Knowing. The Living Bible says, do not let this happy trust in the Lord die away. No matter what happens, remember your reward. Do you know that one day when we get through this, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How many would be ready for if Jesus came tonight? Yeah. I would love it. How many would like it? Would you like to go home to be with the Lord tonight? I'm not talking about dying. Okay. And let me change it. I'm talking about the Lord said, I'm coming tonight. Would you say, yeah, Lord, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. Why? Because we're longing one day to leave this place and go to heaven. I'm longing one day that I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. I'm going to be glad to get out of here. But in the meantime, we've got so much we need to do that, Lord, your will be done, not mine. But let me say this. It's sooner than you think. It's getting close. The Passion says this. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. Amen. Message says, so don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. Amen. Don't give up. It's still going to happen. Great is your reward. The crown that you will receive. You receive the victor's crown. Some will receive a martyr's crown. Some will receive a crown. There's so many different crowns that we will receive from the Lord. And then we take those crowns off and we bow and we roll them back to the Lord. All these different crowns. Always remember this, that every negative thing that happens in your life, God has something positive waiting to manifest. Amen? But in order for that to happen, you must not let go of your joy or your confidence in God's ability to bring it to pass in your life. That's why he said in verse 36, let's look at this, for you have need of endurance. Paul, we've already been through this, we've already been through this, we've already gone through this, and we're going through this, and you're telling me that I got to have endurance? Uh-huh. Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Too many people quit before the miracle happens. Too many people back off in their faith, and they don't receive the promise. See, you only get the promise as you keep believing until it comes to pass in your life. Does that make sense? That's what Paul's talking about. After you've done the will of God, what is the will of God? The Word of God, too. When you've done what that Word says to do, hang on, because your reward's coming. Your promise is going to be fulfilled. The Living Bible says this, you need to keep on patiently doing God's will if you want Him to do for you all that He has promised. Isn't that neat? So, as much as I'd like to go home to see Jesus, not die, rapture, go with the Lord, I know that God has things for me to do here. Amen? God has things for all of us to do here. But we can't wait till one day we can all be with the Lord. The Passion says you need the strength of endurance to do God's will. And then, see, there's the key. And then you receive the promise in full. You can't quit on your prayers. Pray until the promise is fulfilled. Amen? Stand your ground. 2 Corinthians 8:2 says in the Passion, "For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering," okay? Here's what they were doing. This verse here, let me clarify this. Paul told them a year earlier that they were going to take up a love offering for the Jerusalem church. This is the Macedonian church. He says, you got brothers and sisters that are going through a lot and they need some things. He said, prepare yourselves, lay some money aside, and then we'll come and we'll get the collection from you to help the church in Jerusalem. So here's what he's saying. Finally, when Titus and them go to get the money, Paul says this, "For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy." The Macedonian church was so broke. They were poverty-stricken. They didn't have nothing, but they were so full of joy that joy turned into giving. This is neat. See, it wasn't based on what they didn't have. It was based on what they could give. "For even during the season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy." Wow. "From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity." Now, most of us in the natural think, well, they're too poor. We won't ask them for money. How do you think these people got free? They gave what they had. Paul said they were willing to give it. The verse keeps going on and on about this church. I asked somebody one time about the Macedonian church. I said, you know, Paul talked about this church. They gave even into the, they gave what they could. Even in their extreme poverty, they gave. Because they wanted to help their brothers and sisters. Well, I only have this amount to give. If you give it in the name of the Lord, trust me, your reward will be great. It's not what you don't have, people. It's what you can give. It's not the amount, because then it gets into equality of all the people that are willing to give. See, that's what makes a church grow. It's not... It is when everybody equality is doing and being obedient and giving their tithes, their offerings, and being obedient about that, that's what makes things flow. Well, I just don't want, and I've heard people say to me, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give the church this much money. No, they won't. And they've never done it. Some people that got, and I've had people say, well, I've got inheritance coming, and I'm going to give the church this money. Never saw a dime. You know why? Because they weren't given a dime out of a dollar when they were coming to church. Does that make sense? So if you can't give the little, you're not going to give the big. Because it's a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. So here's what he says. It flowed into extravagant generosity. While experiencing tough times, just keep doing. Keep smiling. Stay full of joy. And let all know that even the devil, let him know that none of these things move you. And that's what Paul said in Acts 20:24. He said, none of these things move me. You know why he could say that? Because the man had so much endurance in his life for what he went through that when harder things came, he'd been through the hard stuff. When stuff came, he goes like, these small afflictions in the light of eternity, they don't matter. Don't let the devil or anyone steal your joy. Listen, people, God is about to change it all up for you in this season. He's going to change it all up. In order for him to do that, you've got to give voice to your joy. See, the secret key is your attitude in the midst of everything, is joy. Can you rejoice in the midst of tough times? It's hard. How many know? I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm some spiritual giant and it's easy. It's not. It's the hardest thing to do when you have things that are not working the way you think they should work, and God says to rejoice. Why? Because when we rejoice, it sets heaven free to do what it needs to do for us. God is about to change it all up. Give voice to your joy. The atmosphere in our homes, people, should be charged with the sound of rejoicing, not complaining. Not complaining. There's times that my wife and we'll look at it and say, honey, we're not going to do that. Amber, do you tell Keith that? But we catch ourselves. And we all do it. How many have never complained, you know? When things are happening, but that's what we want to change. We want to switch it up and say, instead of complaining, we're just gonna grab hands, honey, and we're just gonna rejoice. Father, we thank you so much that we have the victory in you. We thank you, God, that you own all heaven. And my stuff is not based on this economy or the government, but it's based on your economy and all heaven's resources. And we begin to rejoice. We begin to give voice to our joy. We begin to charge the atmosphere with rejoicing instead of complaining. Because complaining will rip you off every time. It will steal from you. It will rob you. It will open the door for the devil to come in there and steal you blind. We have to shut our mouths. Amen? Lord, help us to learn how to give voice to that joy that's way down in there. But if I start rejoicing, it'll start surfacing. God is about to change it up. Psalms 118:15. Let's look at this. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Can we say that about our homes? We're working on it. Amen. Honey, we're working on it. More and more. The voice of rejoicing and salvation, deliverance, declaring, decreeing, is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Isn't that awesome? Now listen to this. The message says, hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. You know how it happens? When we rejoice and don't complain. See, God can't work and the angels won't work when we're complaining. But they can work when we start rejoicing and praising God and declaring what God says in his word. The angels will start moving on your behalf. Do you need God to turn it around? Do you need God to change it up, turn the tide in your life today? Then we must never let go of the joy. Never let go of rejoicing, people, and never let go of the victory shout. Because the victory's ours. Psalms, let me close with this. Psalms 47:1. Come, everyone, and clap for joy. Shout triumphant praises to the Lord. For the Lord, the God above all gods, is awesome beyond words. He is the great king of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us and will personally select his choicest blessings for his Jewish people and the very best for those he loves. Does he love us? Yes. We're Abraham's seed. If he'll do it for his people, he will do it for you. Notice that our shouting with the voice of triumph precedes God subduing the enemy. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. The word inhabits means that when you start praising God, when you don't feel like it, when things are going bad, things are going wrong, it's hard. I'm not going to sit there and say it's easy when you're emotionally just struggling, but yet God says to praise him and to shout joyfully so that when we do it, the word inhabit means that God comes down in the midst of your enemies and he scatters them. Only praise and rejoicing will bring God down in the midst of your enemies, your hardships, your troubles, and he scatters them. That's a neat picture of what God can do. That is awesome. Doing your shouting before your circumstances change moves God. It shows him that you really do trust him and that you are fully persuaded, no matter what, he is greater than your enemy and that he will subdue him just as he promised. Listen, people, I want to encourage you to let the devil know on a daily basis, no matter what happens, no matter what he does, it will never stop you from rejoicing, and we can practice what Paul did. He rejoiced even when he was in chains. Him and Silas, they're in prison, in the deepest dungeon, hooked up to a guard. It says in the scriptures, they took him to the deepest dungeon, the rat hole of the prison, chained him to a guard. Now, my question was, why would they chain him to a guard? Were they scared he was going to scurry away? It just puzzled me. It's like they were, you know why? I believe they knew that his God was very powerful. When Silas and Paul begin to pray at midnight, all the doors flung open, the chains fell off, and they were free. And the guard was going to kill himself because he thought everybody escaped. Now, why would the guard kill himself? In those days, if a guard was put in charge of somebody and they escaped, you died. They killed the other guy if they caught him, and they killed the jailer. That's why he was going to take his life, because he thought, I might as well do it now because you're going to kill me. Paul goes, whoa, 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 don't hurt yourself. We're here. And the same jailer took him home and dressed his wounds, and he said his whole household got saved. Why? Well, Silas, I don't know why we got the raw end of the deal on this. Paul, it's your fault that I'm in this mess. If I wouldn't have went on this journey with you, I wouldn't be here. Well, Paul, you're the great leader, so I'm here because of you. That's not what Paul did. Him and Silas sang praises to God. They just worshiped the Lord. And God showed up. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Passion says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every whole season of life. Well, this season of life that we may be going through may not be pretty. But it's said to rejoice in every season of life, whether it's good or bad. To rejoice. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the anointed. When do we rejoice? When everything's going well? No. We rejoice always in every season of our lives. When you and I give voice to joy first, God will turn the negative things that are happening in our lives into something positive. Don't wait for your circumstances to turn and then rejoice. Rejoice now and refuse to quit until the victory comes into your life. Then rejoice some more because you got the victory. Amen? Every test or adversity can be turned into a victory, a testimony if we respond in the right way. My challenge to you today is this. Dare to believe that as you continue to give voice to joy, that God is getting ready to turn your situation around. And God is about to restore everything the devil has stolen from you. You hear me? And God is about to restore everything the devil has stolen, and that God is about to make the devil wish he had never attacked you. Amen. It's time to make his life miserable. And we do that by worshiping, by praising, by shouting, by rejoicing. I know that choosing to rejoice when facing adversity in hardships, it's not easy. I know that. But you and I have a promise, and we're told in Psalms 35, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. You may be going through a tough time, but guess what? Joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. Give voice to your joy, people, because God is about to turn things around for you and I. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Keith, you got a song? Let's close with this. I want you to think about, even during these times, people, we've all been through tough times. We've been through a lot of stuff. But remember this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. No matter how hard it is, praise Him. Rejoice. And watch God open the gates and drop the chains from whatever you're going through in your life. Let's worship the Lord, people. How many like that? Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testament, a trial into triumph, and a victim into victory. That's awesome. The altars are open. People, if you want to come and just pray a little bit, let's take a few moments and spend time with the Lord.
Lord Jesus, I feel you so close to me, I can hardly move or breathe. Thank you, Lord. I can feel your presence all around, I fall knees down to the ground. You're the one that really matters, Jesus. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. I know that I have been found. The cares of life can't hold me down. Cause you're the one I wanna please. What matters now is what you think. Cause you're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. I focus on you. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. I know, Lord. I know that I have been found. The cares of life can't hold me down. Cause you're the one I want to please. What matters now is what you think. You're the one that really matters. 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 Jesus, I see you. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. Lord Jesus, I feel you so close to me. I can hardly move or breathe. Your presence, Lord, I can feel your presence all around. Now I fall knees down to the ground. You're the one that really matters. I worship you. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters to me, Lord. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters most to me, Lord. You're the one. Lord, I want to please you with everything I say, everything I do, 'cause you're the one that really matters.
Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to hear your word, to let your word have us, have our hearts. Father, challenge us with your spirit to be more like Jesus every day. Father, when we go astray, when we do our own thing, remind us of who we are in you and what we have in you, the victory. Father, this morning I pray for each and every person in this place. I pray that your glory, that anointing that shatters and destroys every yoke, goes before us in the midst of the troubles and hardships and adversity that we face. Lord, we know they're going to come. But we thank you for the victory in the midst of that by rejoicing, by giving voice to our joy and rejoicing. Hallelujah. We rejoice and we thank you. We thank you. I want you to do something different than you've ever done. I want you to just begin to rejoice. Hallelujah. Lord, we rejoice. We thank you for the victory. Shout it out. Let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. Father, we rejoice. Hallelujah. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, even in the midst of this, Lord. We thank you for the victory. We thank you, Father, you own all heaven's resources. We thank you for healing. We thank you for supernatural abundance and supernatural restoration. Lord, we rejoice in the midst of what we're facing. We rejoice in you. Hallelujah. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, yeah. And amen. Give the Lord a good clap. Come on.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Hallelujah.